Well, I don't know. What are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, let's do this thing. Ouchie. I have my period. Oh. So everybody knows, so I might be kind of sluggish sounding, kind of slow.
It's also a rainy day.
It's a super rainy day.
We don't want to do anything except eat snackies and watch Love Island.
I really kind of want to order Mexican food.
Oh, shit.
All right, guys. Well, welcome to episode...
Five? We're halfway through the season.
We're halfway there. Let's see. We have over 1,000 listeners now.
Super welcome, cool. Welcome, everybody. Thank you guys so much.
If you're just joining us, welcome. If you've been here before, welcome back. Thanks for sticking around. I don't know. Let's see. Any updates? Any news? Anything you want to tell the people?
I don't think so. We had a lot of fun at the crime museum.
Oh yeah, we did. You guys heard about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good time. I told a lot of people about that. I thought it was really cool.
I thought it was cool.
I thought it was pretty fun.
So thanks for getting us to 1,000 so we could do it.
Yeah. That was cool. We got to see the beautiful bean. Beautiful beans.
The baked bean.
The baked beans. That shit was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah, I don't think anything significant has happened. Posted the tattoo on the Instagram page if you want to go take a look at that.
Because it came out so cute.
It looks. I haven't seen it healed, actually, because it's winter. Yeah. So I just haven't seen you without sleeves. Oh, wow. She looks gorgeous.
She does.
Amazing. Wow. She doesn't look any different than when it was fresh.
No, I think it's just because this area of my arm doesn't get much sun anyway, so I think it'll stay looking really nice.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's the kind of shit we love, guys.
It is.
Take care of your tattoos.
Take care. Wear sunscreen.
Yeah, wear sunscreen and moisturize.
Mm-hmm.
I used to think moisturizing was a sham. I thought it was just a way for them to try to sell you lotion.
Bestie.
I know. I've learned my mistakes. Don't worry. I have learned the mistakes of my ways. I moisturize now.
I'm so proud of you.
All right, guys. Well, I don't know. Other than that, I guess we'll just jump right in. That's cool.
Take a dive.
Yeah, why not? So let's see. Let's pull up my teleprompter here.
The only thing I know is that it's a cult.
Yes.
And I have a guess because Raina was talking about a documentary that they were watching.
Ooh.
So I'm going to guess that it's the Mother of God.
It is.
I knew it.
I'm surprised because I've been watching a lot of freaking true crime documentaries lately, like a ton. Maybe too many. Maybe it's... like actually a suspicious amount of them. But
don't be
I digress.
Suspicious.
Yes, that is correct, though. Have you seen the documentary since I said something about it?
I have not. I'm still working my way through Blacklist, like, freight train.
That's okay. That makes it more exciting for me.
Okay, good.
So I've been dying to talk to somebody about this, and every time I've brought it up, I've only talked to one client who knows what the fuck I'm talking about. So I needed to talk about it today. I know last episode I covered... the royal family conspiracy theory that involves the Nine Circle cult. That one is scary to get into, actually. There's a lot of children involved. It made me really uncomfy to get into. Right now that the Epstein list came out, a lot of the stories coming out are how the Ninth Circle cult is related to the Epstein Island stuff.
Ugh,
and
scary.
Yeah, so I was like, I don't really want to read about that.
Did you see all the pictures of Ghislaine Maxwell at Disney?
No.
Oh, yeah. Like, she used to work for Disney.
Criminal. Literally go to jail.
Straight to jail. She is in jail, so.
Well, make her go harder. I don't know. What was I talking about?
How the last cult was too scary. Yeah.
It was too scary for me to get into. Sorry, guys. So, I'm human. And we're gonna just cover a different cult today. I still wanted to give you guys a cult. So, I'm
love it.
Still delivering.
Give me all the cults, even the band. I love that band.
So, yeah, like Sabrina said, I'm going to be covering the Love Has One organization. Alleged cult group Love Has One. I say alleged cult because obviously they're not going to call themselves a cult.
Of course. Nobody ever does.
Yeah, I'm going to be focusing on the leader of the group. This organization was led by a woman named Amy Carlson, who thought herself to be what she called Mother God.
Oh, okay.
I'm not gonna cover like nearly as much as the documentary on HBO does. It's called Love Has Won, The Cult of Mother God. If anybody wants to watch it, it is a 3-part documentary. I think they're all maybe about an hour and a half long, like maybe a little bit longer than that. Actually, no, maybe they're like 3 hours long each.
Whoa, no shit.
I might be wrong. They're pretty long, I think. I might be wrong. Never mind. Don't quote me on that. Anyway.
Okay.
It's kind of a recent group. Like, it came about in the late 2000s. Like, 2014, I think.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay, that is pretty recent.
Yeah, and it went up until 2021. And there are still members who don't necessarily consider themselves part of Love Has Won anymore. They've kind of branched off and created new groups, but they still follow, like, kind of the same premise.
Okay.
So
they just evolved.
Yeah, it's still technically running, just under, like, different names and members and stuff. But anyway, like I said, it's a 3-part documentary. It interviews former members and people who, like I said, are still kind of considered in it. And there are a lot of clips included that were videos taken on like the phones of the members, and because they used to do lives all the time.
Oh, I love lives. My dad does them on Facebook all the time, and they're always so bad.
Does your dad get a lot of live viewers?
No.
Okay. How funny would it be if he was like fucking TikTok famous for like just being crazy on live?
Oh, no, he could get be. Banned, he though. Could be. I would not put it past him.
And he just doesn't know what the fuck is going on.
I'll try to play one during the break.
But like I said, I'm going to focus mainly on Amy Carlson and her work for the group, because as the leader, for me, it was like the most compelling piece of information, because she was born in McPherson, Kansas, and like she had a pretty normal childhood. Her parents divorced when she was a child, and after they both remarried, Amy was raised between their homes in Kansas and Oklahoma City. And Amy and her sister Tara left to live with her mother and stepfather after claims of abuse from her stepmother. So other than like that, she lived a pretty normal life. Like, the family later lived a middle class life in Dallas, where Amy received good grades and sang in school choir. And they later relocated to Houston. So other than the divorce and abuse, like I said, she had like a pretty tame and normal upbringing.
So who was the abuser? The stepmom?
Yeah. She got a job at McDonald's pretty young and climbed the ladder to manager pretty quickly. She was like really proud of herself.
Boss bitch.
Yeah. She was really proud of herself. Her employees really liked her. Apparently she was a really good manager.
Girl boss.
She was running like she was like the manager of like 3 different stores or something like that. Like,
that's
she
impressive.
Was, yeah. She was killing it. Down the life, throughout her life, she kind of like was kind of reserved and sweet, and like she was gorgeous. She was gorgeous. And so dudes were interested in her, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She ended up having 3 children.
Okay.
With 3 different fathers.
Good.
And this was by her early age, 20. I looked and I couldn't find like the exact age she was when she had her first kids. They might have said it in the documentary, but at that time I didn't know I was going to be covering it, so I didn't like take notes.
Right.
So she's like at this point in her late 20s living this like mundane life, you know, doing her day-to-day thing, but she's looking like for more. She needs something more in her life. She feels like kind of empty.
She needs to be fulfilled.
Yeah. So by the mid-2000s, she decides to look into and gain an interest in New Age philosophy. As one does. So she became a regular poster on the forums of the website lightworkers.org.
Okay.
And on the forum, she met a man named Amerith White Eagle.
What a name.
He was white, by the way.
I mean, as the name implies.
But, like, with the, like, White Eagle, it sounds like he's trying to sound like a fucking spirit Indian or something. And that's, like, weird because he's white.
Yeah. So,
but he convinced Amy that she was divine. And Amy began to claim to, like, began to claim that she was experiencing paranormal phenomena.
Mm.
And not, like, haunting or anything like that. Like, just, like, enlightenment, essentially. So one night in 2007, Amy is at dinner with her family. She excuses herself from the table. She leaves. And she never comes back.
What the fuck?
She up and abandoned her family and job to she join White Eagle them? In Colorado. Yeah.
Whoa. Talk about going out for a pack of camels.
Mom said she's going out for cigarettes.
And milk.
Yeah, so she just decided, this life isn't for me. I'm going to go live my life. And abandons her family and responsibilities and just does it. Good for her, honestly. I wish I could
follow
do the same.
Follow your dreams.
Literally.
There was some book I had to read in high school about some girl that, like, abandoned her family and... God, I'm trying to think what the name of it was. Huh. It was really good.
She abandoned her family?
Well, she wanted to, and it was, like, early 1900s, and... You know, she was unfulfilled and so it was like a let me free type of book.
The group was originally known under the name Galactic Federation of Light. And at this point, it was pretty much just Amy and Amerith doing like Facebook videos or doing like videos on YouTube. Because I don't think you could post videos on Facebook at that time, but you could. They were posting videos on YouTube, and they had some subscribers, they had some watchers and all that stuff. They were posting on forums all the time, all that shit.
That Galaxy Federation, what a cool name.
Galactic Federation of Light.
That's fucking sick.
So, Amy and Amerith led the group as Mother and Father God.
Mm.
And this was around 2009. And in the documentary, it said she ended up leaving him, but in some of the articles I was reading, it said that he left her. So I don't know who left who, but eventually they split in like 2014. So they were together for a while doing their thing. And she had a big following for just her videos and stuff like that already. She gained her first like in-person follower, and his name was Miguel Lamboy, and that was also in 2014. So Miguel turned out to be kind of like a whiz with marketing and money and computers and stuff like that. Like, he was just good with all that.
Okay.
So he helped rebrand her. He made her a new website. He kind of helped advertise her videos a little differently. Stuff like, he just kind of helped her look more professional, I guess. Be taken more seriously as, like, a spiritual guru. So, she started gaining more people following her in person. The group traveled between states trying to find somewhere right to settle into. And before I get into, like, where they settled and stuff, let me get into some of the beliefs of the group.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
Because it's very interesting. And the thing I got when I was watching this documentary and doing my research was, it sucks because a lot of the stuff that they do and a lot of the stuff that they do believe in is real.
Mm-hmm.
It's at, like, you know, working your energy and stuff like that. Like, that's real.
Mm-hmm.
Reiki stuff. Like, that's herbal medicine, stuff like that. Like, that all actually works if you're using it correctly and, like, can help in some ways. But the way they went about it in this group just kind of, like, made a joke of it, which was really upsetting to me because, like, they word things in the documentary and they kind of have it set up to where it's, like, them talking about, you know, his energy was draining her kind of thing. Like, they make it sound almost like a joke. So then it makes the person watching it not take it seriously. But it's like, that is actually a thing.
Right. For sure.
So it just kind of bummed me out. So some of the stuff like might sound a little outlandish, but some of it in the right context and in the right usage can genuinely be helpful.
Yeah.
But anyway, getting into the beliefs, Amy Carlson believed herself to be Mother God. And she and her followers believed that she was the 534th incarnation of Mother God, a deity who was destined to lead exactly 144,000 believers out of the superficial reality of our 3D world and into a fifth dimensional plane of higher existence.
Okay, starting off strong.
Yeah. To accomplish this, she needed to regularly commune with, quote-unquote, the Galactics, who were an etheric team of spiritual ambassadors. This is where it gets real fun. That she said was largely made up of deceased celebrities.
I was not expecting that.
Including, but not limited to, Robin Williams. That was, like, one of her main ones. Mm. Robin Williams, John Lennon, Michael Jackson.
I knew Michael Jackson was going to be on it.
Elvis was on there. As well as, for some reason, the living Donald Trump. She believed...
Okay.
She believed her past lives included Cleopatra, Jesus, Joan of Arc, Harriet Tubman.
Wow, she's really humble.
And Marilyn Monroe.
Hmm.
And she claimed to have full memory of her lives, including being hanged on the cross as Jesus.
Ah. Okay.
So Carlson or Amy claimed that she lived in the mythical ancient land of Lemuria and Donald Trump was her father. Yeah.
Interesting.
A special obscure technology was stolen, causing an explosion that sank Atlantis.
I feel like she just took all these different words, like you know those big boxes of like refrigerator magnets. It's like if you took the conspiracy theory one and the celebrity one and like put them together, this is what you would get.
So the group's former website said Amy. Oh, hold on. I skipped one. So, quote unquote, Mother God was able to save the technology, but wasn't able to fully ascend to the fifth dimension because humanity wasn't ready. So she continues returning to Earth in human form to try and lead that 144,000 people to believe so that she can fully ascend and save the world, I guess.
No biggie.
Yeah. You know, not all heroes wear capes.
Of course.
The group's former website said Amy was a spiritual surgeon who would work multidimensionally to operate on people's bodies and cure various physical ailments. And they were selling that as like a package thing that you could get.
Good Lord.
Like a service that you could pay for. And she would virtually, multidimensionally perform surgery on you.
Okay.
To rid you of things like cancer and tumors.
Do you think she'd get rid of hemorrhoids?
Man, this one's like really hurting me. Can I just show it to you? Can you just take a look at it, please? So yeah, she said that she had cured cancer and Lyme disease and addiction and suicidal thoughts and as well as removed brain tumors and helped cases of autism.
Wow, maybe we should go see her.
Yeah. Well, she's dead now. But.
Oh. Spoiler. I didn't know that.
Whoops. So that's some of what they believe in. Anyway, so Amy believed that the Galactics were calling her and the members at that point to move to Colorado. So from leaving White Eagle in 2014, leading up to her death, Amy had a succession of men she believed to be Father God.
That's hot.
One of which had actually left the organization, so he's now a former member of Love Has Won. And he ended up leaving. I mean, originally when he joined, he did not want to have sexual relations with her at all. Like, he straight up said, like, she's not really my type. She was beautiful, but, like, she's not my type. Mm. But when she told me that I was Father God, I mean, it was my duty to lead the people and to be by her side to do that and be a partner for her. And
I
you
mean,
know.
Of course, when you get knighted Father God, yeah. What else are you gonna do? Not a deadbeat.
Yeah. So he took on the role of Father God, and he ended up leaving the group, if I'm remembering correctly, because Amy was an alcoholic, and she recreationally smoked a lot, and I'm pretty sure she did mushrooms a lot, and she used, you know, hallucinogens pretty often and stuff. They were, like, a no-drug organization. They didn't like methamphetamines and, like, cocaine and stuff like that.
But psychedelics, I mean, every good cult leader needs those.
Exactly. And I'm pretty sure they would take ecstasy and, like, you know, feel-good shit like that. But he started to really see her decline in her alcoholism when the group started to gain a lot more popularity. So, at this point, they have almost like 20 members living in the commune of the house around her constantly. She's working day and night basically to spread the word of this and stuff and lead her people or whatever. And there were a lot of alleged conversation of the fact that she would kind of force them not to sleep a lot.
Oh, good. And all the classic signs.
Yeah.
Of,
She would require them to do so much work, essentially, that they couldn't sleep.
Right.
They are, you know, just together, they're around her constantly. They're sucking the energy out of her constantly, and she's an alcoholic, and so she's starting to really decline as a person, getting real crazy, like, even crazier and deeper into it, just because she's, at this point, probably in, like, psychosis.
Oh, yeah.
And just
spiritual
diving deeper.
Psychosis is a real thing.
And it's crazy.
Yes. 100%.
Like, it's so scary to witness that. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. But, so, she was, like, declining, and he didn't want to see it anymore, so he ended up leaving the group. And she would just find another person, and she chose a new Father God, and while with that one, she met a new man who she believed to be the one and true ultimate end all be all final Father God. And her current Father God was actually Father Multiverse.
Oh. I see.
Which then implies that there is a Mother Multiverse.
Right.
But anyway, so the final Father God became so in 2018. And his name was Jason Castillo. And it was said without a doubt by the cult members, former and current, and even by himself, that he is insane.
Wow.
That he is crazy. He believes he killed Amy energetically.
Oh my God.
He admits in the documentary that he thinks he sucked the life out of her. And, like, his interview is, like, he's crazy. Like, he's insane. You can tell by the way he talks and carries himself that he's crazy.
Yeah.
But she thought that, I'm pretty sure she thought she could fix him. So she was like, this is
never
the ultimate.
Him.
She's like, this is the ultimate Father God. We're going to lead the world into ascension. So in a phone conversation, So like I said, he's crazy. And in a phone conversation with Insider, he said his existence could be traced back 477.5 trillion years.
Wow.
That humans came from Venus and that he has three hearts.
Oh. I mean, there's no possible way we can check to make sure that's true.
He described the role of Father God as Master of Darkness. Like,
okay.
So from 2018 to 2020, they're almost running the cult like a business at this point. So after he comes into it, it gets really deep into it. At that point, they were already live streaming like almost 24/7. And so you can see him come into the group and start to kind of assimilate with everybody and then be knighted Father God and then become the leader. And from what I watched on the documentary, they didn't mention any abuse from him. From some of the research I found, he did abuse some of his sexual power in the position of Father God to tell people like, oh, you're my assigned mate for this time or something like that, whatever kind of thing. So that's pretty scummy. But other than that, most of the abuse within the cult came from Amy, just constantly wanting them to basically make her more money.
Damn, the money became everything to her.
Yeah, money became everything to her. She was getting gifted in the middle of live streams. She was sending out her wish lists and getting people to buy her all these things. So she had all this amazing jewelry. She had, you know, I think it was almost like $1 million crystal collection. And like she had like a go-kart.
What the fuck?
Yeah, like she ended up getting these people, members and non-members, like people just watching the live streams. She got them to get her anything she could have ever wanted, basically. So at this point, she's running it like a fucking paper mill. They're live streaming 24/7. They're selling these like boxes of stuff where you can get like crystals and candles and all this other shit. And the one main thing that they are pushing that they want everybody to buy, and this was around the time of 2020 that they really started to push it the most because they said it was a COVID healing substance, was colloidal silver.
What is that?
Colloidal silver is basically a liquid with silver particles. It's basically liquefied silver.
Oh, perfect. That sounds like it's definitely going to cure you of COVID and any other disease, I said sarcastically.
So that was, colloidal silver was used to treat wounds and infections before the discovery of antibiotics.
Okay. Like when a bunch of people died.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was like lead in everything and like right. They were doing asbestos. Cocaine all the time. Yeah. So they loved to claim that this stuff was an all-purpose healing remedy, and that was their number one push to sell. So at this point, she is money hungry. She is a declining alcoholic. She is high constantly, like 24/7, which like been there. She is getting the life sucked out of her by everybody around her because she's constantly having to perform. She's probably deep into psychosis. This woman is essentially declining mentally and eventually will become physically.
Shit.
So at some point around 2020, things start to get kind of messy. Jason is using methamphetamine. And the relationship him and Amy have is getting super toxic and concerning. So they tell him they're leaving. So they tell him that they're leaving him. And that he needs time to essentially fall into his power because at this point he was very low vibrational and it was starting to make Amy sick.
Whoa.
So Amy is declining in physical health and they think that it's because of him. So Amy started to become sick. I think she was sick because she was ingesting silver and an alcoholic, but you know.
And not sleeping.
Yeah. So the group briefly moved to the island of Kauai in August 2020, where they were met with the hostility from locals after Amy publicly proclaimed in one of her lives that she was the Hawaiian goddess of Pele, or that she was the Hawaiian goddess Pele.
Shut up.
Yeah. So in a live, somebody in the live asked her about the protests, or the protests that were outside, because they were like, we don't want this crazy person here.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, I don't know why they hate me. I am Mother God. I am Jesus. I am. Started listing off all these other deities and gods and goddesses and lists herself as Pele. So they're pissed now. A multi-day protest ensued with protesters lighting driftwood fires, chanting Hawaiian prayers.
Shit.
And they were all, like, just surrounding her property. So video footage provided to the Denver Post by Love Has One member, Lauren Suarez, showed eggs and rocks being thrown at the house, as well as the broken windows of the house and the SUV parked in the driveway.
Damn.
And it got so bad that the mayor of Kauai, Derek Kawakami, intervened to negotiate the departure of the group from the island. So he was like, what the fuck can we do to get you out of here? And during this entire time, she's essentially losing her mind and her health. She was starting to turn blue from ingesting the colloidal silver.
What the fuck?
Her body was shutting down from alcoholism. She wasn't really able to walk anymore. More members started to leave the group when they started to see that she was quite literally dying.
Could you imagine your mom walking away from your entire family only to see her in Hawaii on a live stream, blue and like methed out of her mind?
I don't think she was doing meth.
Oh, it was just...
Yeah, I think it was just him. I think she was okay. Just crazy.
Well, yeah. But still, like...
Yeah.
It'd be like, what happened?
Their families, because they did lives, their families watched them.
Right.
Their families obviously were very aware of, like, what was going on. Her mother tried a lot to reach out to her, and at some point, she just stopped.
Well, I mean, you can't help somebody who doesn't want to be helped. And at that point, I mean, clearly she was so far gone.
Yeah. So, yeah, she was basically dying. More members started to leave because they saw that. The more loyal members who were there and were like stayed taking care of her, basically just feeding her colloidal silver and alcohol by the hour, thinking it would help. Like... One member left because he's like, you guys are literally killing her. It's 11 a.m. and she's shit-faced. Like, it was getting bad. So on multiple occasions when Amy's health started to decline really rapidly, Amy asked them to reach out to her family to take her to a hospital or to help her in some way. And they would always refuse, like the members of Love Has One. Because they believed that she was in the process of ascending into the galactic five dimension, essentially, or fifth dimension. And they thought that if they brought Amy to an actual 3D doctor, that the doctors would simply be too perplexed to understand what was happening to her and not be able to help her anyway.
I think it's called cirrhosis.
And, like, because they ended up having to go to trial for all this.
What?
Because she died. So, oh my, and like, God. They died in her care when you know, she was like, take me to a hospital. And they were like, no. Like, they said it in a live once that, like, mother was like, I want you to take me to a hospital. And we were like, no. They wouldn't even understand you. Like,
yikes.
So, like, they said it live that they refused care to somebody who was pleading for help. So they had to go to court. They ended up taking that back because she had signed, when she was in her right mind and body, signed three documents saying that they would never take her to a 3D doctor, no matter the circumstances.
Well, and, like, she's the reason they believe that.
Yeah.
So, like, even if, like, they're just following what she told them to do.
Yeah.
Like, publicly, loudly, yeah, on all platforms.
Yeah. So while Amy and the group are in Hawaii, Jason finds them and begins his role again as Father God. He comes back better, quote unquote, sarcastically better, and starts taking on the role of Father God again and starts helping to take care of her as her condition is just worsening. And she tells them that she's being told by Robin Williams, specifically out of the Galactics, that they need to go to Ashland, Oregon for her to ascend. I've been to Ashland, Oregon.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty cute. I went to a really cool cemetery there. So she's saying, we need to go to Ashland, Oregon so that I can finally fully ascend, because she knows she's dying. So she's like, I want to go back to Oregon and die there, I guess. And at this point, like, or I mean, I guess before her health started declining really bad, she would have these kind of meltdown moments where she would look at her most loyal followers, which were, I think, like 3 or 4 people were her main, like, big followers. She would look at them and be like, what if I'm lying? What if this is all fake? What if I made all this up? What if I'm just crazy?
Whoa. What like, did they she say? Started
to fully realize that she, one, is dying, and two, none of this is real.
And that she fucked her entire life up.
Yeah. And they were like, that's not true. Like, basically just gaslighting her into being like, no, you're just, like, in pain right now. Like, it's just the ascension. It's just, like,
whoa.
Basically just writing it off as part of the process. When in reality, she was straight up telling them the truth. Like, yeah.
I'm not okay.
Yeah, this is not real.
That's wild.
Yeah, and they just wouldn't listen to her. So in 2021, the group travels to Oregon. They stayed in Callahan's Mountain Lodge. And at this point, she couldn't walk or move on her own. She couldn't speak. She could barely breathe. She was basically dying from the inside out.
That's so terrifying.
She died in the room at Callahan's Mountain Lodge on an unknown date. Very soon after the move. They weren't there for long. And one unspecified day, since we don't know when she died, she was only 75 pounds when she died.
What the fuck?
Because she believed, before she started to, like, just decline in health, she believed that she had to be a certain weight to be able to ascend. And before that, she had struggled in her life with anorexia. Hmm. So, you know, at this point, she kind of gave herself a reason to have to restrict her eating and all that stuff. So she was just drinking colloidal silver and alcohol and smoking bowls. And that was basically
crazy.
It. She would have, like, a walnut or something, you know, like, she was starving herself. So with the combination of alcoholism, colloidal silver ingestion, and
malnutrition,
yeah, she was dying.
That's really sad.
The group moved Amy's body a few days after her death to the Mount Hood National Forest when the hotel staff started to become suspicious. The group waited for the quote-unquote galactic beings to pick up her body, but Jason claimed that he heard a calling to move Amy's body. So they were just going to wait in the forest with her body for the galactics to collect her, and something in him was like, no, let's take her back to Colorado. Let's take her to the house. So one of the former members, who I was a member at the time still, and he was the one who owned the house. It's our good old friend Miguel, the first member. They brought back her mummified body because it had been days at this point. And he reported it to the police.
Thank God.
Because he was like, what the hell?
Bro.
So, the mummified corpse of Amy was discovered in the home. Its state of decay suggested that she had been dead for several weeks. The body was found in a sleeping bag, wrapped in Christmas lights, the face covered in glitter, and the eyes missing.
What?
And what authorities stated was a makeshift shrine. 7 members of the group were charged with abuse of a corpse as well as child abuse due to the presence of 2 children in the property. An autopsy report released in December 2021 stated that Amy had died from global decline in the setting of alcohol abuse, anorexia, and chronic colloidal silver ingestion. The autopsy found no evidence that Amy had cancer, like she claimed, because she claimed that she was dying from cancer. She claimed she had stage 5 cancer, actually, which is not a thing. All charges on everyone were eventually dropped, but I couldn't find out anything on why. I'm assuming because she was of the right sound body and mind to make all these decisions at the time, and they were just following what they believed to be a religion.
Well, or it could be that they were not fit to
Yeah, that's true. Because, dude, watching that documentary, there's one woman in particular who was a member. Watching her, like, makes me so uncomfortable because you can tell she is still so... I want to say broken, but, like, she doesn't think she's broken. You know, like, she loves this... She loves Amy. Like, she thinks Amy is Mother God. She thinks Amy did ascend. She doesn't think Amy ascends. She thinks that the world wasn't ready. Mm. So she wasn't able to ascend. And the world actually just killed her.
Yeah, I don't think a single one of those people were fit to stand trial.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you watch it now and it's still like, whoa. These people still don't see what the fuck was going on.
That's so crazy.
And there's still some, two of the main members, two of the main girls that hosted a lot of the lives, still do lives every day. They live right down the street from each other now. They moved back in with their families, I think, but they still sell and believe a lot of the same stuff. They still think that colloidal silver heals, and they still, you know, just brainwashed.
Literally.
Yeah, completely brainwashed. So... That was the story of Amy Carlson.
That was fucking wild.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I know.
I did not know, like, what that cult was about, but I had no idea it was going to be, like, that crazy.
I know. It was insane. And it was insane. So recent. 2021, yeah. She died.
Oh, my God.
That was only 2 years ago.
What in the hell?
So, like, they were doing TikTok lives. Because TikTok was a thing then.
That is mind-boggling. That is actually fucking with my brain.
Yeah. And I never heard about it until recently. I didn't hear about it
either. Thankfully, that shows we are on our algorithms are doing the right thing.
Yeah, my algorithms are showing me nothing but Mulch Gang for Life videos.
I get a lot of cat videos.
I get a lot of cat videos, but now I also get the I love eating microplastics videos. I remember the first time it came up on my feed, I was like, what the hell is this? And then it just kept coming up, and then now every time I'm like, hee hee.
I just saw that tea bags could give you microplastics, so that's fun.
Ooh, yay.
Yay.
I love consuming microplastics.
And red dye 40.
I've considered becoming dyeless. It seems like a lot of work, though, honestly. It does. Which isn't that shitty.
Can it really be that bad for you?
I don't know. I feel like it definitely could be. I don't know, bestie. Maybe a lot of the problems we currently have are linked to Red Dye 40 somehow.
Very well could be.
Who knows? Let's see. I want to smoke and a snack.
Yeah, smoking a snack.
Smoking a snack.
Smoking a pancake.
Smoking a pancake. I was just thinking the same thing. Okay, we'll be right back.
Gripping a cigar.
Okay. Now that I can breathe again, Sabrina and I wanted to try something for a break. I keep seeing this thing where people try to think of the same word on the count of three, and I want to see if Sabrina and I can do it, because I feel like we say the same shit all the time.
We probably could if anyone can.
Yeah. So we're going to try it. So give ourselves a second to think.
So we just, like, any word?
Any word.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Any word.
All right.
Okay. And then on the count of three, we say it.
Okay.
Okay. Ready? Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3. Fire.
Applesauce. First thing that came to mind.
Fire and applesauce.
We're doing great.
I thought of one. Okay. Are you ready? Okay. Fire and applesauce?
Oh, uh-huh.
Okay. Ready?
Uh-huh.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. Cider. you say chair?
Yeah.
So let's try again. Okay, ready?
Okay.
Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3. Computer. Barry. Say Barry?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3. Controller.
Apple. It was right there.
Apple. Well, you said berry. Is apple a berry?
Well, it reminded me of fruit, and you said computer, and it's the only computer named after a fruit.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
You said controller?
Yeah.
And I said apple.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Hold on.
Controller and apple. Okay. Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3. Jeff Remote. Bezos.
Okay.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3. Amazon.
Hey!
You did it.
I'm so glad because I was really close to saying Alexa.
Yay, we did it.
We did it.
Do you want to read yours?
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool.
This one's kind of dark. Ooh, it was sad to write about. So my story today is a murder-ish.
Ish?
Well,
how can it be a murder-ish?
An accidental murder.
Hmm.
And so today I'm going to be talking about Dexter Wade. This is also a recent-ish story. Dexter Wade was a 37-year-old man living in Jackson, Mississippi with his mother. He had 2 teenage daughters who he was close with. As a boy, Dexter dreamed of having his own business refurbishing old cars.
Interesting.
But when he was a teenager, he kind of fell in with the wrong crowd. His mom was a single mom working nights, so she wasn't around a whole lot. In 2017, he was released from prison for attempted auto theft and armed robbery.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so he kind of did some bad stuff, but then he got it together.
That's good.
After he was released, Dexter was diagnosed with bipolar disorder and schizophrenia. And then he was able to be properly medicated. So Dexter really decreased his illegal drug usage and mostly stayed home with his mother, Betterston. Cleaning, he would hand out food to those in his neighborhood that needed it. On the night of March 5th, 2023, so just last year, Betterston and Dexter argued about a broken window in the home when Dexter left with a friend on foot at 7:30 p.m., approximately. It was the last time that she ever saw her son.
Oh, no.
Betterston struggled with her decision to contact authorities to look for her son because, one, they're African American, and Betterston actually lost her own 62-year-old brother to a Jackson County police officer when he slammed him into the ground.
Oh, my God.
The officer was convicted of manslaughter, but the website I was looking at said he was appealing. So she didn't want to go to the police, especially with his history.
Mm-hmm.
I think she really struggled with that, and she talked to her own mother about it, who was also telling her not to go to the police. But she did finally report him missing on March 14th, so about a week and 2 days after he went missing.
Damn.
Police came and took her statement. And she called weekly, and no one ever gave her answers to what happened to her son.
Wow.
Telling her that there were no updates. But she later discovered that police knew exactly what happened to Dexter the entire time.
Wow.
At around 7:54 p.m., March 5th, Dexter was hit and killed crossing a highway by an off-duty police officer. So this highway was about a half mile away from his mother's house.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. While he did report the accident, the police officer wasn't given a field sobriety test or cited for any traffic violations.
Of course not.
Of course not.
He was on duty. He wasn't doing anything wrong.
They said that he wasn't intoxicated, but I just don't think we can trust that.
Yeah.
I mean...
What year was it?
2023. This was last year.
Oh, my God.
So this was like 20 minutes after he left his mom's house.
Wow. That's fucking awful.
So they ruled Dexter's death an accident. Toxicology reports showed PCP and methamphetamines in his system. On his body, he didn't have his ID with him, but he did have a bottle of prescription medication in his pocket, which had his name on it.
Interesting.
On March 8th, after contacting the prescribing facility for next of kin, the county investigator claimed that he called and left a message for his mother, which she denies ever receiving. On the 9th, his fingerprints were ran and confirmed Dexter's identity, and the investigator provided Betterson's phone number and address to the Jackson police. So the county investigator, the county, I think this is the coroner's office. So county coroner did that and then was like, okay, here's his next of kin's phone number and address to the local police. The investigator called to follow up with Jackson police, who reported that they were unable to locate next of kin, despite Betterston already having reported her son missing. On April 3rd, the coroner's office received approval to bury Dexter in a pauper's field at Hinds County Penal Farm, and he was finally buried there July 14th, with both his mother and the county investigator calling Jackson police only to receive the same answer. There were no new updates on the case.
Interesting.
In August, a new officer on the case finally told Betterston what she had been dreading, that her son was dead.
Damn.
And this is in August. He went missing in March. He was killed in March.
Yeah.
So for months, she had no idea what happened to her son, even though they knew the whole time.
For almost half a year.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
She then was able to speak with the county investigator, who confirmed that he knew Dexter's identity from the day of his death, and he had no idea why the police had never told her. She was able to go see her son, who was buried in a shallow, unmarked grave where vultures congregated, and the smell was undeniable.
Oh my God.
The only marking that the graves have in that particular penal farm... So this is, like, behind a jail, is a metal rod with a number on it.
Oh, my God.
In this graveyard, there are 672 bodies. Since Betterston created a whole bunch of news stories about this, and they were really looked at, it was revealed recently that 215 of those bodies, which are from 2016 to 2023, have names and families who were never notified that their loved ones were deceased.
Oh my fucking God.
Yeah. They're identified only with a metal rod and a corresponding number, and basically just left to rot outside this prison. Since Mrs. Wade's ordeal, multiple families have learned that their loved ones are in the graveyard, and the state is making them pay hundreds of dollars to retrieve them.
What the fuck? I'm, like, tearing up.
Is that not like so sad?
So fucking awful.
And I think it just really goes to show you that police don't treat people like humans.
No, we are subhuman to them. They're not here to help you.
No, absolutely not. And I just, like, can't imagine what that poor mother went through. His children. His daughters, who had no idea where their father was for months.
Yeah, these people are, like, people. They have lives. They have their own individual battles and struggles and highs and lows. Like, they're fucking people.
With loved ones and people who care about them and want to know what happened to them.
So do we know if every single one of those people back there was a death by a cop?
No. So basically, like, a lot of those bodies are from the jail. Mm. Like, people who die in jail or prison and have no family members to come collect the bodies. And I think that's a particularly old prison.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of those are, like, older bodies from stuff like that. But, like, the county, I guess, will send bodies there that are unclaimed. So it was because the body of Dexter Wade was unclaimed.
Yeah.
Because they never told his mother that he was dead.
So, like, what is the fucking purpose of that? Like, you know,
they didn't have to open an investigation into a cop. Yeah, hitting somebody.
I don't know. I feel like there's a way you could have gotten away with how he died and still let his mother, like, have peace.
Right.
Like, if you're going to be corrupt, you know, I feel like there's at least you could have.
And she spent hours looking for her son.
I don't know. I just feel like that's the cruelest of cruel. I feel like they definitely did not have to fucking do that.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no fucking way. That's the only grave that they have.
And
you know?
Jackson Police Department spokesperson was like, it was a miscommunication. It wasn't out of malintent.
And it's like, it was. It was out of ignorance and malintent.
If somebody is calling every single week for updates,
yeah,
and you haven't checked once to look that the name in your system is the name of this body that you have, like, clearly you didn't. That is not miscommunication.
Yeah. That's so awful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry to all those families.
And I hope you get your justice.
Yeah. And I hope that you can grieve. Despite only just finding out what happened to your loved one. Oh my god, how terrible. How terrible is our infrastructure?
So terrible.
Well, kind of a bleak episode, guys. Sorry.
On that cheery note.
But, you know, we're not gonna leave you hanging there.
Yeah.
We've got some good stuff for you guys today. In fact, actually, this is great. So, we're going to put on some elevator music really quick. And you guys are going to smoke up and get ready to kind of meditate with us for a second.
Yeah,
do a little spell. Yeah. Also, our food just got here.
So, we're going to eat.
Perfect timing. So, we'll be back. And, yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Hey guys, welcome back. We ate, we watched some Love Island, we shit talked, and now we're ready to bring you guys a nice little spell.
Oh yeah.
Yay. So today we're going to give you guys something that's going to help bring you into the new year. Even though we're past the first, a lot of people always implement a lot of change with New Year's resolutions and stuff like that. So we've decided to give you guys a little energy reset spell that you can try. And we're going to go ahead and do it with you today.
Yeah, so we'll all be shedding the old energy of 2023 and welcoming new energy.
New energy.
Fresh energy.
And we're
going to
switch modes into a more spa-like energy.
Relaxing.
Relaxing. Okay, so for this, you will need, for this spell, you're going to need 2 chamomile tea bags, or a calming tea of your choice, really, calming herbs of your choice inside a tea bag, washcloth, or a small towel. I'm sure a paper towel will do just fine also. The washcloth might keep a little bit of warmth, but otherwise it should be fine. A medium-sized bowl or something to put some warm water into. A journal or writing utensil. This is optional, but it's kind of helpful in this. And a work candle for atmosphere, which is also optional, but always good to have.
Yeah, like incense.
Exactly. That's always good. You could light that too. You could cleanse the space before you do this.
Really get you into the mood.
Yeah, do whatever you feel is necessary for you for this spell. Now what you're going to do is you're going to light the candle if using, light the incense if using, do your cleansing, get prepared. Get all your utensils set out and ready to go. Then you're going to place the tea bags and washcloth in the bowl or whatever you're using to hold your warm water. And then you're going to heat some water up. You want it to be warm but not hot to the touch, or not too hot to touch, really. And while you wait for the water to warm, you can make a itemized list of all the things you want to get rid of with this spell and all the things you want to bring in with this spell. Or, in this case, all the things you want to let out in the new year and all the things you want to bring into the new year. Mm-hmm. And then... I almost dropped my whole computer. And then, you are going to take the warm tea bags, close both eyes, sit back in a reclined, comfortable position. You're going to take those warm little tea bags and you're going to place them right on top of your eyes.
Oh, sounds so lovely.
So nice. You're going to place them right on top of your eyes, and then you're going to take that warm washcloth and put it right on top with it. And then you're going to do a sort of meditation. You don't have to go fully into meditation, but you can if you want to. It couldn't hurt. And with every inhale, you're going to breathe in the good things you want coming into the new year. And with every exhale, you're going to exhale the bad things you want going out into the new year.
For you're just us, gonna... one of those things is that every small inconvenience in our lives sends us on a spiral. So that's really one of the things we're letting go of.
Yeah, so we're getting rid of the existential dread. Mm-hmm. We're bringing in the joy of life.
That's right. We're bringing whimsy into our hearts with every inhale.
We're going to frolic through the fields of happiness.
Yes, we motherfucking are.
So help me fucking God. And you're just going to repeat that process until you feel you are complete. And you can sit there for as long as you'd like. If you go into full meditation, you can sit there for the duration of the meditation. Obviously check whatever herbs you're putting on your eyes and make sure you can keep them on for extended periods of time. Just repeat that process and then wipe your face off. Take a nice final deep breath and then go on with your day. Continue into the new year with good light and intentions for you and your loved ones.
Do some journaling about your experience.
Yeah.
You could also use moon water for the water that you heat up.
Ooh, that's smart.
That would be good.
Yeah. Got some moon rain water. I might put it out to collect some more rain.
Nice.
Today. Anyway. Okay, calming stuff over. We hope you enjoyed your stay at the Greenwich Cottage Spa.
That's so cute.
And we hope to see you again for another little meditation spell. That was really nice and refreshing, actually.
Yeah, it was.
Very sweet. Very gentle and kind, I felt. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that is of use to you, and hopefully you guys are doing well in the new year. Continue doing what we need to do for Palestine, and remember to light up.
And look out.
Oh, actually, one more thing.
Oh, yeah?
If you have any questions, comments, corrections, concerns, you can email us at greenwichcottagepod@gmail.com. And if you want to see pictures of Sabrina's tattoo that I did for her and our other little shenanigans, you can follow us on Instagram at GWC Podcast.
Did you take a picture of the bean?
No, I didn't.
I didn't either.
I should have. I didn't even think of it.
We'll put a picture of the bean on there.
We'll put a picture of the bean so you guys can see what beautifulness that we saw. That's not a word, but what beauty that we saw. But yeah, anyway, once again, remember to light up.
And look out.
Bye.
Bye.